From across the river, the courthouse bell sounded. Twice, then a pause. Four times, a pause. Eight times. 2, 4, 8, again and again. For months now, all through the dusty summer, the massive bell atop the Cook County Courthouse in the middle of downtown Chicago had provided the cadence of the city. A warning for some, but for many more, a sound like the chime that told them to take their seats at the start of a show. The newspapers called them firebugs. Sometimes they came in dozens, sometimes hundreds. On this night, they came in the thousands, moving toward the brightening orange glow over the rooftops just west of the river. They blocked the streets, they crowded the bridges, they climbed atop storage sheds and shimmied up lampposts. They gasped, they laughed, they shouted encouragement to firemen and fire alike. They drank. They didn't represent all of Chicago, but in their appreciation of just about any sort of ready-made entertainment, they were Chicagoans through and through. The city, only 34 years old on this warm and windy October evening, was urban America's youngest child, full of promise and mischief, making its own way, accountable only to itself. In a city populated by more than 300,000 people, spread for miles up and down the shore of Lake Michigan, fires provided a unique sort of intimacy and knit its people together in a way little else could. The sight of a blaze over the rooftops and the piercing cries of fire brought out men, women, and plenty of children who loved to test the flames, no matter what the hour, running in close and running back out before they were shooed or dragged away. Nothing quickened the blood more than the sight of one of the 16 gleaming cast-iron steamers of the fire department clattering past, its bell clanging as the company foreman lifted his speaking horn to his mouth and shouted, "Aside, damn you!" Some came out into the streets because the fire had started nearby, while others were drawn from miles away. As the sense of excitement grew, a wiry and bespectacled 20-year-old, newly anointed as a city editor at the Evening Post, hurried along with the firebugs through the West Division. With the wind up, the sky dark and clear, and many of the city's manufactories, mills, furnaces, and boilers shut down for the week's day of rest, the sound of the courthouse bell was as clear as a conversation in the same room. Something in the energy surrounding him, the number of people outdoors in the dark of night, and the unusual brilliance in the sky, told Ed Chamberlain that this could be a big one. Maybe the big one. Twice the bell rang, then a pause. Four times, a pause, eight times. Every editor and beat reporter in Chicago carried a detailed map of the city in his head. Chamberlain knew that 248 was a fire department call box in the neighborhood the insurance men called Red Flash. Fire was always a good story, but a fire in Red Flash had the makings of a great story. Ed lived with his older brother Everett, a drama and music critic at the Tribune, farther out in the West Division, away from the river, where the houses and the lots on which they sat began to get bigger and nicer. Though he'd lived in Chicago for just 2 years, Ed already knew many of the city's streets and alleys as he'd known the dells and country roads of eastern Vermont, where he'd lived until he was six, or those of southern Wisconsin, where he'd come of age. He was a rural boy at heart, raised in rustic little villages, come as a young man to the least clean, least painted, least charming big city in America. Chicago was all drive, ambition, movement, smell, and noise. For the tens of thousands of newcomers like him from the American countryside, and for the tens of thousands who'd come from Europe, its pull was awesome and irresistible. Block 52, just across from the south side, bounded by Canal, Van Buren, Jackson, and Clinton, was a typical Chicago block, a mix of residences, small factories, storefronts, saloons, and empty lots arranged in a heedless jumble. Into its 5 acres were stuffed 2 sawmills, a box factory, a small lumber yard, several coal sheds, and numerous 2- and 3-story row houses, all made of wood. Wood shavings and wood dust filled the block's warehouse floors and floated in the air.